Vrinda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So on this auspicious day of the appearance of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, we will just try to speak some of the glories of his pastimes. Of course, Srila Prabhupada, as we heard from His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, that the process of approaching Radha and Krishna is through Lord Chaitanya. And to approach Lord Chaitanya, we have to first approach Lord Nityananda. So how can we approach Lord Nityananda? And in this regard, Srila Prabhupada instructed us that we have to take up the mood of Lord Nityananda. His mood is to engage Jaghai and Madhai. This is the mood of in preaching, in the mood of Lord Nityananda, to go to the fallen souls and try to give them Krishna consciousness. Lord Nityananda has no personal desires in his preaching, but his mood in approaching Jagai and Madhai is that if they will become devotees, if they will take the shelter of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then everyone will know how great Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is. So like this, preaching to the fallen souls, we see the same example with Srila Prabhupada. Probably most of you have seen the World of Hare Krishna movie where Allen Ginsberg speaks about how people like Krishnamurti were in uptown New York luring the elderly widows and their wealth and enjoying nice French furniture and aristocratic conservative surroundings. Whereas Srila Prabhupada went to the Lower East Side to preach Krishna consciousness. The Lower East Side in New York means where the streets are littered with alcoholics and vagrants, people with no homes, poverty-stricken area. But where the youth were, Srila Prabhupada was eager to preach to people who would make an audience for Krishna consciousness, not just to entertain people, but to convince them to take up this Krishna consciousness movement and to assist him in spreading this message of Krishna consciousness. We see there are many spiritual people. They go around preaching Bhagavad Gita and having discourses, but they're more in the entertainment business. They're not really changing people's lives. But the mood of Lord Nityananda is to go into people's heart and change their life. Just as we heard Kaviraj Goswami, Krishnadas Kaviraj, was residing at home. But then Lord Nityananda came in his heart and told him, get out. You have to get out from here. This person, this brother of yours, is not doing you any good. He's not got an iota of faith in Lord Nityananda. So get out and go to Vrindavan. This is the mood of preaching Krishna consciousness, that we want people to take up the Krishna consciousness mission, the Krishna conscious lifestyle. Hearing about Krishna is the beginning. We have to hear in the association of devotees. Lord Nityananda is a preacher. He would go everywhere and preach. In Bengal, even today, I remember when I was preaching in Calcutta in the 70s, and we printed Prabhupada's Gita Gyan, the little Bengali poetic narration of Bhagavad Gita which Prabhupada wrote. When that was first printed, some of the devotees, we went out and we were distributing these books on the streets of Calcutta. And one of the devotees became inspired to go and fall at the feet of people and beg them to take this Gita Gyan. He would take up the mood of Lord Nityananda. And if they would ask, what is your name? He would say, Nityananda. And he would say, yes, you are Nityananda. You are Nityananda. Because this was the mood of Lord Nityananda, to go door to door, falling at the feet of people and begging them to please take up this Krishna consciousness movement, to please chant the holy name. So Lord Nityananda, of course, was a preacher, and he would go with Haridas, and as we heard, you know, he wouldn't pick some easy person. He wouldn't just look for the wealthy people, although he did have a lot of wealthy disciples. In fact, that was sometimes a little bit of the criticism which was leveled against Lord Nityananda, that he doesn't look very renounced. You know, why did this Gunarnabha Mishra, this priest of Krishnadas Kaviraj, why they didn't have much faith in Lord Nityananda? He wasn't playing their game. He didn't look like the saintly renounced person, which they thought symbolized spiritual advancement. Lord Nityananda is avadut. He does not belong to any particular ashram. Just like Sukadeva, Rishabdev, Nityananda is also avadut. But he bewilders the minds of the ordinary souls who lack spiritual knowledge, who cannot see the spiritual depth. They're only looking, what is his dress? What is his ashram? They see Lord Nityananda appearing, and he's wearing a lot of jewels. He has a lot of ornaments. Ankle bells and rings and bracelets. Sometimes even people were surprised to see Prabhupada wear a ring. They thought, why he wears a ring? He's a sadhu. He's a sannyasi. What's he doing wearing a ring? They didn't know the ring was given by some devotee. Prabhupada wanted to bless the devotee. He wanted to satisfy the mind of the devotee by accepting their gift. It is an item of love between one devotee and another to accept gifts in charity and to give also in charity. So Prabhupada accepted the ring from a disciple, and he wanted to please that disciple. He wore the ring for their pleasure, not for his own pleasure. But ordinary people, they're bewildered, they're puzzled by these things. So Lord Nityananda, he could puzzle people. Was very unusual in his behavior. Surprised people. As we were saying, he wore many different jewels and ornaments, and sometimes even this attracted thieves. They wanted to come and steal the jewels. Pastime goes that this very powerful gang of dacoits had this plan to come and rob Lord Nityananda. They saw all of the jewels and they thought, so much wealth. They must have more as well too. Let us go there. We'll wait. After they've taken prasadam, they'll all go to take rest. Then we'll come and rob them all. So they were waiting. They waited. It became dark. They saw the devotees, the Lord Nityananda and his associates, having their prasadam. And then, as the night fell, they began to settle down to take rest. And the thieves were waiting. But as they were waiting, the thieves also fell asleep. By the power of the illusory energy, they became victims of what they were thinking was going to overpower Lord Nityananda and his associates. They fell into a deep sleep and they didn't wake up until the next morning. When they woke up and saw the night had already passed, then they thought, oh, we can't rob them now. We'll have to come back another time. Let's come back another time. So after some time, a few days had passed, they again came back, this time again with the plan of robbing them. But as they approached the encampment, they saw that guarding the camp, there were these massive bodied personalities with big kunti malas on their neck and heavy tilak on their bodies. And they were chanting the holy name. And these personalities were just gigantic in size and stature and physique, that any one of them could overpower the whole gang of dacoits. They thought, what chance have we got? They've got guards like this. Quick, let's get out of here. Quick, they might harass us. So they turned and left. But still they were thinking that there must be a way. We can't believe these people are, those guards, they may have gone by now. Let's try again. Let us go again. Make one more attempt and see if we can rob these people. So as they came, just as the night was falling, the whole sky became covered with big black clouds. Then there was thunder and lightning and torrential rain. And not just only rain, but it became like hailstones falling from heaven. You know, with great force, large blocks of ice were falling from the sky. And the wind became very cold. And as they were approaching the camp, the thieves were bombarded with all of these hailstones and the cold wind. They couldn't see where they were going. And they fell into the trenches. They fell into the garbage pile. There was a big drain where there was a big hole in the ground where they were keeping all the refuge and garbage. They fell in there. Many of them broke their limbs. And they were left in this helpless condition. At that time, the leader of the thieves began to consider in his mind that, what is happening? That time after time I've been trying to approach these people to rob them. And every time, one thing after another has prevented me from robbing them. They must have some magical power. That they must be very, very great personalities. And he decided that he would go there and surrender himself. He went to Lord Nityananda and confessed his sins. He took shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda and revealed everything what had happened. So Lord Nityananda took the opportunity of making this person a devotee and then sending him out to preach. And who did he send him to preach to? Go and preach to all these other thieves. Because you're a thief, you must know a lot of other thieves. So you go and preach to them. And you bring them to me, and we'll make them also devotees. So this is the mood of Lord Nityananda. You see, he's reclaiming all the fallen souls, all of these conditioned souls. He's thinking how to bring them all to the shelter of Radha Govinda. So Srila Prabhupada exemplifies that same mood in his preaching, as we heard. Not only Srila Prabhupada, but this is the mood of the Acharyas. And the mood of Lord Chaitanya, in the line of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gaudiya Vaishnavas, that our mood is preaching. Whereas in South India, in Sri Vaishnavism, we see massive temples, beautiful opulence, wonderful opulence and worship of the deity. But in the line of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, the mood is more on preaching. And we have wonderful jewels in the form of scriptures presenting the philosophy and teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya's his foremost preacher in spreading the Krishna consciousness movement is Lord Nityananda. That although Lord Nityananda had the custom to come every year to Jagannath Puri and attend the Rath Yatra, bringing all the devotees, that Lord Chaitanya requested him that next year you don't need to come. You just stay there and preach. Preaching is more important. But still, Lord Nityananda, in his transcendental love and his desire to associate with Lord Chaitanya, sometimes he would neglect the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and come there anyway. So Lord Nityananda has such an intimate relationship with Lord Chaitanya that after Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, Lord Nityananda was given his sannyasi rod. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had taken sannyas from Keshava Bharati and he had been given the Ekadanda because he's taken sannyas in the line of Shankaracharya. So, carrying his Ekadanda rod, at one he was walking with a group of devotees, with Lord Nityananda among them, and he asked Lord Nityananda to hold his danda for him. But Lord Nityananda took his danda and broke it into three. And he then threw it in the nearby river. Lord Chaitanya was not pleased externally to see this. However, the acharyas explain the significance of Lord Nityananda's action. First of all, he understood that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doesn't need a danda. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He has no need to hold the sannyasi rod. Therefore, Lord Nityananda disposed of it. But when he broke it into three, he also indicates that Lord Chaitanya is not an ekadandi sannyas, but is in the mood of the tridandi sannyas, holding the three rods, the three indicating body, mind and words, all in the service of Krishna. So this is Lord Nityananda's position, that he has that right. He can do such things like this in the association of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Another interesting pastime in relation to Lord Nityananda, that when they were going to Jagannath Puri on a particular occasion, the party was always led by Shivananda Sen. And Shivananda Sen would arrange to pay the different tolls at different places and deal with the different customs as they move from one border to another, dealing with the different governments and officials. Even in those days, they had some problems in traveling, just like nowadays. You know, you want to go somewhere, you need visas, you need passports, things. Sometimes immigration is not so easy. So even in the 500 years ago, in India itself, in the times of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there were many different states, different rulers, and different governments. It wasn't easy to go to Jagannath Puri. They had to cross different regions, different rivers also, different officials had to be met and satisfy them, paying tolls. So Shivananda Sen would accept this responsibility. But sometimes it required some effort on his part. He may have to go to an office and see them. So one particular occasion, Chaitanya Charitamrita describes that the devotees were left for some considerable time in the hot sun, and standing under a tree. And Lord Nityananda was not so pleased with this, that he had to tolerate some inconvenience. And after some time, when Shivananda Sen returned, Chaitanya Charitamrita describes how Lord Nityananda kicked Shivananda Sen. And then he cursed him also, that your son will die. And when Lord Nityananda put this curse, then the wife of Shivananda Sen began to cry. However, Shivananda Sen was not at all disturbed. He was quite different from the person who resided in the home of Krishnadas Kaviraj, because he had full faith in both Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. And he simply told his wife, there's no need to cry. If Lord Nityananda wants our child to die, let him die. This was the mood of Shivananda Sen. He had so much faith and so much love for Lord Nityananda. Of course, Lord Nityananda never allowed such a thing to happen. This is simply a pastime. These pastimes were performed, the unusual behavior of Lord Nityananda, to show the greatness of his devotees, to show how exalted and how tolerant, how much these Vaishnavas are willing to endure for the service of Lord Nityananda. So we have to learn from these devotees how they associate with Lord Nityananda and how they dedicate themselves to the mission of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. Therefore, we see sometimes in the other Gaudiya Vaishnava temples, they often install deities of Gadarhar. But Srila Prabhupada was not so much inclined towards Gaur Gadarhar. Srila Prabhupada encouraged the worship of Nitai Gaur. Gaur Nitai, Chaitanya and Nityananda. Because in the worship of Chaitanya and Nityananda, we see the mood of preaching. That this is a preaching mission. And Prabhupada always encouraged us to preach and to take up this mood. Just as Lord Nityananda preached, if we also preach in this mood, then certainly Lord Nityananda will be merciful to us and he can give us the shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and we can understand the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So this is the goal of life. On this day, we want to pray very intensely, very sincerely to the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, that we can also be engaged in his service, that he can give us the energy, the faith, the enthusiasm, the dedication, everything it may take to go and preach and to deliver Krishna consciousness to others. Because the more we try to preach, the more we try to distribute this Krishna consciousness, the more we will remain healthy and strong in Krishna consciousness. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Very difficult for me to speak with ambrosia on the left and bhakti enthusiasm on the right. And then in between two swans you have the duck. Certainly that is Lord Nityananda's mercy. I would just like to speak a little bit first. Of course, you all know the glories of your Radhanath Swami and Nrisimha Maharaj. You may not know, he's from the Buri Place Temple? Buri Place? Yes. It's this tiny, the first temple in London, very small, a small Brahmachari ashram. But from that small Brahmachari ashram of maybe how many? How many Brahmacharis back there? In Buri Place?
20?
Yes. Came. Nrisimha Maharaj, Prabhavishnu Swami, Bhakti Chaitanya Swami, Jnanananda Maharaj, Mahavishnu Swami, Subhag Swami, Bhakti Bhajendananda Swami. So by Lord Nityananda's mercy, I'm seated between these two extraordinary Vaishnavas who, from the very beginning, were so immersed in Krishna consciousness. You know how Yaradana Swami was wandering in Vrindavan as a quote-unquote non-devotee, but of course a devotee waiting for Srila Prabhupada. And Nrisimha Maharaj, from the very beginning, so dedicated. And then I think of this lowly self watching devotees preach on television and commenting, "These people are fools. They have missed the goal of life." That was my reaction upon hearing devotees speak for the first time. Puffed up I was by mundane education. I heard the devotees speak about Ananda. First time I heard that word. They explain what Ananda is. Bliss. Transcendental bliss. Krishna consciousness. Bliss. And as a true follower of Jagai and Madai, I turned to my flatmate and said, "Ha! These fools talk about bliss. We'll invite them to one of our parties. We'll show them what bliss is." Just 8 months later, by the mercy of Lord Nityananda's representative, Srila Prabhupada, just 8 months later, I was in the Brahmacharya Ashram. When I told this story to Bhakti True Maharaj, he listened, he thought, and he said, "Well, I guess this means that anyone can become Krishna conscious." I would like to speak from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 16. The part before Lord Chaitanya attempts to go to Vrindavan. Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai
Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai
Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. We are in Jagannath Puri, and there it's just after Chaturmas, and Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda are having daily private conferences. and no one knows what they're talking about. While they're having these private consultations, because as you heard from His Holiness Radhanatha Maharaj, how you heard how intimate the two are, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, just as Krishna and Balaram are so intimate. They're having these private consultations. And then the third Vishnu Tattva member of the Pancha Tattva approaches. Sri Advaita Acharya comes. And he starts making very mystical gestures to Lord Chaitanya and speaking very mystical poetry. No one could understand what these gestures were all about, what the poetry was all about. But Lord Chaitanya, being the intimate knower of Advaita Acharya, looked in his face, and immediately Advaita Acharya began dancing in ecstasy, fully confident that Lord Chaitanya understood what he was trying to convey. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami comments, whatever Advaita Acharya was proposing or whatever Lord Chaitanya was ordering, no one knows. We have to accept that that element is always there in the Lord's Leela, achincha, inconceivable. That is why Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, he's standing at the edge of the unlimited ocean of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes of Lord Chaitanya's associates. And he's just touching the water at the edge of the ocean. Time after time again, we hear how, who can understand the true depths of the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya's associates? And you see that in this private discussion with Lord Nityananda. After Advaita Acharya's dancing in ecstasy, Lord Chaitanya embraces him and bids him farewell. That means it's time for Advaita Acharya to go back to Bengal. After this, Lord Chaitanya turns to Nityananda Prabhu and says, O Shripad, O holy man, I have a request for you. Please grant this request. Be kind and grant this request. Nrisimha Maharaj was speaking about how Lord Chaitanya was going to ask Lord Nityananda, don't come to Puri every year. You stay in Bengal and preach. I would like to speak a bit about how this Leela shows the highest kind of selflessness, and it shows the true nature of the Guru Parampara, as so eloquently brought out by Srila Prabhupada, who makes clear not simply what bhakti is, but the amazing thing is he makes so clear what is pure bhakti without a touch of personal consideration, even when that personal consideration can seem to be clearly within the realm of Krishna consciousness. Lord Chaitanya ordered Lord Nityananda, please don't come every year. I need you to preach in Bengal. does this mean that Lord Chaitanya was denying Lord Nityananda the great fortune of coming to see Lord Jagannath, coming to see the Holy Dham? Perhaps we would take it in that way. We want all the nectar we can get. But in the purport, Srila Prabhupada points out that the highest nectar is the order coming through disciple succession. And that one will sacrifice to carry out that order, even apparently at the expense of seeing Lord Jagannath, being in the Holy Dham, which undeniably is good fortune. But the highest fortune is to take the order of Guru Parampara as the life and soul. In the pastimes of Lord Ramchandra, you can read how Lord Ram ordered his brothers out of Ayodhya to go subjugate various kings while Lord Ram remained in Ayodhya. And naturally, one would think, oh, they had to leave Lord Ram's association. If I were there, I would just stay in Ayodhya with Lord Ram. There's no way I would leave. But Srila Prabhupada explains in the same vein that it was not that Lord Ram's brothers, Vishnu Tattva, were being denied the good fortune. They had the order of Lord Ram, and that is the highest fortune. Srila Prabhupada explains in that purport in Srimad Bhagavatam that neophyte devotees misunderstand and they don't want to take the pains to preach. Whereas Lord Ram's brothers are showing the real dynamics of spiritual life are to take the order upon the head and execute that order. And within that order is the highest fortune. At the same time, just so we can see how expansive and benevolent in every aspect of bhakti is, Srila Prabhupada explains that Lord Ram was merciful to the neophytes in Ayodhya. They didn't have the realizations, but they had Lord Ram's personal audience. In that way, the Lord arranges for everyone to make spiritual advancement. So we see the non-fanaticism of the Lord and his followers. We see the all-inclusiveness. At the same time, we see the distinction. All this is going on at once. Similarly, when Lord Chaitanya tells Lord Nityananda, don't come. This is great mercy. Look at the situation with Lord Chaitanya. He was restricted, so to speak, to Jagannath Puri by the order of his mother. Therefore, he's thinking, what's going to happen to preaching elsewhere? How will people elsewhere get the benediction of Krishna consciousness? In that spirit, Lord Chaitanya ordered Lord Nityananda. But Srila Prabhupada writes very beautifully. In other words, my point in presenting this is to show Srila Prabhupada's extraordinary status. How even within the realm of the highest bhakti, Srila Prabhupada can elucidate the pure devotional standard, even from within Jagannath Puri, even from within Lord Chaitanya and his associates. He writes, the devotees of Lord Chaitanya must preach Krishna consciousness in every village and town in the world. That will satisfy the Lord. It is not that one should act whimsically for his own personal satisfaction. This order comes down through the parampara system, and the spiritual master presents these orders to the disciple so that he can spread the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is the duty of every disciple to carry out the order of the bona fide spiritual master and spread Lord Chaitanya's message all over the world. In this way, through this request of Lord Chaitanya to Lord Nityananda, you see the parampara. You see the inheritance that we have received. And you see in Srila Prabhupada's purport how he is giving instruction for the future of the ISKCON society for thousands of years. He's explaining what the purpose of the parampara is, to pass down the order of Lord Chaitanya. And any genuine spiritual master in that parampara gives that order to his disciple. And in this way, Krishna consciousness continues to spread. Just so we can understand the future and the scope of what's going on. Our godbrother Dhananjaya Prabhu told me how he personally heard Srila Prabhupada explain that what if, Krishna forbid, but what if every leader in the Krishna Conscious Society departs? What if all the temple presidents depart? What if all the pujaris leave? That would be an extraordinary disaster. We don't want to contemplate. But Srila Prabhupada said, even if that happens, someone, because my books are spread everywhere throughout the world, someone will find a book, read it, start reading all my books, and they'll know exactly how to start the Hare Krishna movement again. I'm relishing that far-seeing vision in this purport where the principle of selflessness, even amidst Jagannath Puri, amidst the most sublime associates of the Lord, this principle is so carefully elucidated for our benefit. We should not take for granted the merciful position that Lord Nityananda has given us, to be part of such a spiritual enclave in which these most high pure devotional principles are so brilliantly presented in a way that we can live our lives based on these most elevated principles. In other words, this is beyond being spiritual. This is about preaching in pure devotion. That is what Nityananda Prabhu is demonstrating. Next, we hear how the Lord wants to give all the credit to his devotee. That is the secret purport to the Battle of Kukshetra. Sometimes people say, why does Krishna start a war? Especially in these days of jihad and religious strife, often people can feel queasy about this battle of Kurukshetra. And on the cover of Bhagavad Gita, there is Krishna driving the chariot of Arjuna, and Arjuna shooting arrows. The inner purpose of the battle of Kurukshetra was that Krishna wanted to give the credit to Arjuna. From Krishna's point of view, all the soldiers on the battlefield were already dead. He explained that to Arjuna. The arrangement has already been made. They're dead. But you fight and get the credit. You be the instrument. Krishna was prodding Arjuna to fight so Arjuna would get the glory and not Krishna, so to speak. Lord Chaitanya is telling Lord Nityananda, you can perform a task that even I cannot do. But for you, I cannot find anyone in Gaudadesh who can fulfill my mission there. Lord Chaitanya is presenting himself as incapable. He's looking at his own portfolio of achievements. He's delivered fallen souls, but they're all very high class. Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis were government officers from the Saraswati Brahmana community. Although, due to their association with Muslims, they were considered fallen. Still, they were high class. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was the greatest scholar in India. Prakashananda Saraswati was the leader of thousands of Mayavadi sannyasis. This is whom Lord Chaitanya delivered. But as we heard from our two Maharajas, what about the Jagais and Madais? That was Lord Nityananda's specialty. What was Lord Chaitanya's reaction to Jagai and Madhai? Kill them. Mm-hmm. And what was Lord Nityananda Prabhu's reaction? Mm-hmm. Not only should their lives be saved, but they should be given full Krishna consciousness. Mm-hmm. In this way, you can see that what was not apparently possible for Lord Chaitanya was possible for Lord Nityananda. That is Srila Prabhupada's conclusion. And then he takes it further. Srila Prabhupada takes the point further. In other words, let's look at Nityananda Prabhu. Let's meditate on this scene of Jagai and Madhai. Lord Nityananda doing the impossible. Similarly, we can understand that a servant of Lord Nityananda can even excel Lord Nityananda, just like apparently Lord Nityananda excelled Lord Chaitanya. And then Srila Prabhupada points out, this is the essential nature of parampara. Now where do we go to find such jewels, such ecstatic thoughts? So presented so clearly, in such simple language, we may take it for granted. The essential nature of the parampara is that Krishna wants to give all the credit to the devotee. And of course, there's another side. We'll get to that later. But first, let's focus on Krishna wanting to give all the credit to the devotee, which Srila Prabhupada points out is the process of disciplic succession, in that the devotee can even excel, apparently, the Lord in the Lord's activities, just as Lord Nityananda excelled Lord Chaitanya. Let us hear some more. Because these purports in this section, I have found, are so deep. I have been meditating on them for 30 years and can't get to the bottom of them. Every sentence is just packed with the highest realizations. But because they're stated in not ornate English, we may take them for granted. The rasa tattva emanating from these purports far surpasses what we ordinarily might think is a very most elevated presentation of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Because of Srila Prabhupada's humility as a representative of Lord Nityananda, such dazzling truths, such gems of wisdom come out just so matter-of-factly that often we can forget. As Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was reminding us a few days ago, that Srila Prabhupada said his purports are his devotional ecstasies. This is ecstasy of the most sublime nature. And to be able to pass that ecstasy down, into the depths of this Kali Yuga, that shows Lord Nityananda's mercy. As Srila Prabhupada writes, in commenting on Lord Nityananda's commission, just like we heard the song, Nadia Gojume, Nityananda Mahajan, the order to patrol the cities for spreading the holy name. So this section is about the order. By the grace of Vishnu, a Vaishnav can render better service than Vishnu. That is the special prerogative of a Vaishnav. The Lord actually wants to see his servants work more gloriously than himself. We know the example of the battle of Kurukshetra. We know the example of Hanuman, who jumped over to Lanka while Lord Ram was content to build a bridge of stones that floated. Does Srila Prabhupada, in conveying to us Lord Nityananda's mercy, does he just leave it at that? Very wonderful leelas? No, he brings it home in such a challengingly practical way so we can apply Lord Nityananda's mercy in our daily life. He says, if we simply follow Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions and follow in the footsteps of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, this Krishna conscious movement can advance, and even more difficult tasks can be performed by the preachers remaining faithful to the service of the Lord. All these gems are an extraordinary, inconceivable outburst of mercy. Now, what is Nityananda Prabhu's reply to Lord Chaitanya saying, I don't know any, I can't do this except for you. Only you can do this task. And Nityananda, showing the humility of a Vaishnava, says, you are the prana. You're the life. I am the deha. I am the body. It is true that the life and the body are non-different in that the body can't function without the life, and the life needs the body to animate. Lord Nityananda's conclusion was, even though there's no difference between the body and the life, life is more important than the body. You, Lord Chaitanya, you're more important. Now remember, this whole leela is hinged upon the desire of Lord Chaitanya. Mora Ichcha. My desire is that you remain in Bengal and preach. The desire of the Lord, the desire of the devotee, this is in a special category. Amidst this most eloquent exchange of pure spiritual desire, Lord Nityananda replies that by your achintya shakti, by your inconceivable mercy, you can do whatever you like. Whatever you make me do, I will do without restriction. I don't know by what strength I'm carrying out all these things. All I know is I will do whatever you say. This is the other side of this extraordinary situation. Although the Lord wants to give the devotee all the credit, the devotee doesn't want the credit, wants to give it to the Lord. In this way, there's an eternal competition going on. In this exchange between Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya, you see something far beyond the all-powerful God ruling his subjects. You see the intimate exchange of love, a love beyond our material calculation, a love to the extent that an eternal race goes on. The Lord wants to give the devotee all the credit. The devotee says, no, the Lord gets all the credit. That's what Nityananda Prabhu is indicating in his answer. It's your achincha shakti. I don't know where I'm getting the strength to do what I do. All I know is I'll do whatever you say. We can meditate on Lord Nityananda's example. And Srila Prabhupada tells us that if the devotee follows the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the living entity, even though an insignificant creature, can perform the most difficult task by the Lord's grace. How is it that the followers of Lord Nityananda Prabhu can do tasks that from ordinary vision surpass even what Lord Nityananda has done? This is the nature of the parampara. This is how Krishna wants things to happen. He wants to see his devotee glorified. But the devotee, regardless of Krishna's conspiracies to glorify the devotee always retaliates, so to speak, by giving all the credit to Krishna. That is what's going on in this exchange between Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. And in that exchange, we see the potency of Srila Prabhupada's movement, as Srila Prabhupada makes it very plain to see. And we see the selflessness, even amidst the realm of the highest spirituality. Jagannath Puri, the associates of Lord Chaitanya, the intimacy, and still amidst all that, we can perceive what is purest devotion by Lord Chaitanya ordering Lord Nityananda, stay in Bengal and preach. Mora Icha, that is my desire. We've heard so beautifully from both Maharajas about approaching Lord Chaitanya through Lord Nityananda. And His Holiness Ranath Maharaj was quoting Narottam Das Thakur. A kabe nitai chan karana hoibe samsara vashnamor kabe tuchahabe. When will my material desires become so insignificant? When will Lord Nityananda make that happen? That is our heart's cry today. Insignificant. Kabhi tuchahave. That's like a little tiny insect lands on your hand and you just don't take it seriously. Kabhi tuchahave. When will Lord Nityananda make it so that our situation is like that in regard to material desire? This is the mercy day for all the inmates in prison. Some religions, you know, they have a special mercy days where you can, the criminals in jail can throw themselves at the mercy of the court. This is our mercy day. As inmates in material existence, we can throw ourselves at the mercy of Lord Nityananda and quote Srila Narottam Das Thakur, Arkabe Nitai Chan, moon-like Nitai, when will he be merciful upon me so that material desires shrink to the status of just being insignificant. then we can effectively approach Lord Chaitanya. Please allow that I express my humble gratitude to Lord Nityananda and his representatives that such an entity as I can sit here between these two exalted personalities and in your audience. And by Lord Nityananda's mercy, you'll see much more miraculous events unfold. That is the nature of parampara. Please don't forget this vision that Srila Prabhupada is giving through this lila of Lord Chaitanya's request of Lord Nityananda. If you meditate on this section of Chaitanya Charitamrita, you will understand everything that's happening here. That is my bold assertion upon this day. Hare Krishna. Nityananda Prabhu ki.